All right, everyone, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of blockchain technology and cryptocurrency. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to, and we bring it to you all completely for free in under an hour. And guess what? It is September 9th, 2025. We're excited to have all of you back here with us. We got another action-packed episode in store. A lot going on in the markets. We're excited to be able to cover it with all of you here today. But just to give you a quick little glimpse of what's happening, I mean, we have new job revision numbers, which are affecting the rate cuts that could be coming our way. And we're going to explain exactly how this impacts the crypto market. We have bulls eyeing up the end of this year, still looking for a rally across October, November, and December. We're going to explain why that's the case and everything else. And then, of course, we have all sorts of new developments, adoption, treasuries, you name it, and even some pretty crazy and funny stories at the end for all of you. So make sure that you stick around. And of course, if you are here with us live, leave us a comment in our chat box on YouTube. We love being able to see all of you. We love being able to interact with all of you. And of course, we take questions as we're going through this, especially towards the end, and we answer the questions that you all submit to us. So if you are here live on our YouTube, which is the Crypto 101 podcast, make sure to check us out. If you're coming from another source like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or something like that, then again, check us out on YouTube. That's where you're going to be able to see all of the visuals and articles and charts that we're referencing. But with that being said, I'm joined here by my very good friend and co-host, Mr. Tivo.
Good morning, Brendan. Super excited to be back with everybody. Obviously, we had an abbreviated holiday week last week, but as promised, we're back and we will be pumping out a ton of content because, as you know, if you stick with us a lot and you're watching every week, these episodes have been pushing an hour literally every time we sit down. We're doing it multiple times a week. We're covering, obviously, with Brendan, his expert technical analysis stuff. We're bringing on Brian and Joe. We're talking meme coins, plus our traditional podcasts, which literally are leading breaking news left and right. So you're going to want to stick around for how we do that, or how we have done that, to show you how we're bringing on people that are literally making news in both TradFi and DeFi. Overall, I know the title is Top 3 Secrets, and basically there's so much breaking news that you're not going to be able to keep up with it yourself. That's why you're watching this video. That's why you're here. That's why Ryan Boylan's here. My God, that guy's our number one commenter. Lou Too Fresh, Brian Crow, Brian Wheeler. Welcome, everybody. As everybody piles in here, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. If you are new, check the bottom right, see our logo, click on it, give us a subscription. Please subscribe, like the video. It helps a ton. But we've got a lot to get to, Brendan, so let's jump into it.
Yeah, let's jump into it, man. Let's start with the breaking news. You know, for everyone that is here live, you're going to get the breaking news and what's happening, because we are getting a little bit of choppy price action, a little bit of a sell-off here in the morning. And that's because we had some job-related information come out. Again, we're going to tie all this back and make sure that you all understand why and how this affects the crypto market. But the big headline here was U.S. payrolls are revised down by 911,000 jobs, making this the largest cut in history. Now, at face value, that sounds a little crazy, but what in the world does that mean? What does it mean that U.S. payrolls were revised down by over 900,000 jobs in this, you know, quote-unquote, largest cut in history? Well, this doesn't mean that the U.S. lost 911,000 jobs. Right? It doesn't mean that those jobs were there and now they aren't and there's mass layoffs. It's a little bit misleading in that sense. So what happens when something like this goes on is this is saying that the expectations were fewer than the reality. So if you look at the jobs from April 2024 to March 2025, there was a one-year stretch there. The expectation is that we were going to have added an extra 911,000 jobs, right? We'll just call it 900K for short. In reality, we're now looking back on those numbers from April 2024 to March 2025, and it's saying, hey, we came drastically short, the shortest that we have ever come in history of those expectations. So this is saying that this is a failed in expectations of what job growth was supposed to look like, primarily over 2024. And not in a mass layoff of what was actually going on. So what does this mean, right? It's people saying, okay, well, this is expectations versus reality. That's not as bad. However, what this shows us is that the job market had been weakening for a lot longer than what people had been talking about. And the second part of this is that it was weakening with, it was just showing a lot more weakness. So not only was it showing like less strength, but it was also going on for a longer time. And the reason that this matters is because this is the other half of the Fed's two-part system, right? They want to manage inflation and they want to manage the labor market. So if the labor market or the job market is weakening, then the odds of them cutting are drastically higher. So we are already going into the final part of this year saying, hey, you know, we're probably expecting two rate cuts, maybe 25 basis points each. And crypto historically performs very, very strongly in a rate cutting environment. That's what we've seen over the course of crypto's history. So what we're looking at now is saying, hey, you know, it's really unfortunate that this has gotten so weak, right? We don't want to see the job market ever get weak, right? Because people lose their jobs and stuff. But for crypto specifically, the way that this ties in is this is saying the odds of more rate cuts are now on the table, and the odds of larger rate cuts are now also on the table with jobs looking so weaker or so much weaker. So I guess from a crypto perspective, you're looking at this and saying, okay, well, more rate cuts and maybe larger rate cuts, that could be a really good thing for the crypto market and giving it some strength and giving it a lot more fuel to the upside, more than we would have expected at any point in the past. Now we're getting this huge bump as a potential new catalyst. And there's some articles floating around, TiVo. I think we can put it on the screen. I saw one from The Block earlier saying that, you know, Bitcoin's staying a little bit range bound right now, but the bulls are looking for Q4 as like this big season. And historically, it is one of the best seasons of crypto, is that October, November, Santa Claus rally, December, that whole period. And we're almost there. And they kind of even say, hey, rate cuts are an idea. Well, now we're getting this new information on top of that. And it does look like it's kind of a form of jet fuel. So the thing I have to you, I'm going to pass it off to you. Here's a little bit of my frustration. Again, we've talked about this some on the show. I'm going to be inserting a bit of bias here. But is it not a little bit frustrating, right? I've had my critiques of Jay Powell. Is it not a little bit frustrating saying that the job market has been seeing this kind of slowdown for a year and a half now? And not only have we been seeing the slowdown for a year and a half, but it's been far worse than what was perceived and recorded and expected and talked about. And they've still shoved it off, saying job market's resilient, jobs market's this and that, and in almost every single press conference. So now we're getting into a place where it's like, well, that just, we're looking at the data and saying, not only was it not true, but it's the worst that we'd ever seen before. So does there not feel like there's something wrong with that scenario? And again, I know crypto kind of comes on top. My only fear here is that if, you know, this does get drastically worse, well, if this sends us into an area where there's mass unemployment, well, then all risk on assets, right? TradFi, DeFi, crypto, equities, stocks, you know, everything gets hurt if there's mass layoffs and stuff and the job market gets that bad. So I don't know, a little bit of frustration from my end. And so long as it doesn't escalate to some crazy degree, you know, crypto should come out actually pretty triumphant from it. But
if you've been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. All right, Crypto 101 fam, after a long day of podcasting and trading these markets, you know I need a good night's sleep. And comfort is personal. For me, it's a mattress that's soft enough to sink into at the end of a long day, but supportive enough to keep my back happy in the morning. That's exactly what I get with the Avocado Green Mattress Eco Organic Mattress. It's their most affordable certified organic mattress without compromise. Medium firm with a plush organic latex and up to 1,000 steel coils that reduce motion transfer and keep your spine aligned. Every night I get world-class back support that feels just as good getting in as it does getting out, which we all know as we get older, getting out of bed sometimes is the hardest part of the day if you don't get a good night's sleep and your back hurts. And guys, here's the kicker. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supplies, so they cut out the middleman and pass on the savings to you. You get premium certified organic quality without the premium price tag. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattress. That's avocadogreenmattress.com for 20% off. Avocado, dream of better. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Yeah, and I think we obviously always say our own biases, but we try to stay pretty middle of the road. I'm going to ask the chat here. The chat's been pretty active. Throw in how many rate cuts you guys think we are going to see this year. As I give my take, I'm going to bring up you guys at the end. So chat, throw in how many rate cuts you think. For me, I try to stay middle of the road. Everything you said is basically true, but you got to remember that in the sense of, you know, us doing the podcast, and we kind of hit on some football and some NFL stuff. It's like, it's Monday morning quarterback. It's much easier to be given the takes on Monday and Tuesday when you're playing the game on Sunday. But I think with the Fed, it is a little bit different because you're just kind of, you're always like looking back at the data. So it's kind of a, I don't know, bummer that they kind of let it get to this point. But you recall, and we talked about it on the show last year, it was like at one point last year, you know, the market was expecting, wasn't it like 6 to 8 cuts in 24?
Yeah, I think it was like 6.
Right. And then it just kept going. The market was ripping and then would go down and went down. And then the Nakai trade in August and then no rate cuts and then the market tanked. And then there was this random rate cut that we've covered in September, right before the election. It was like, oh, there's a rate cut there. And then all of a sudden we slam on the brakes again. That's the toughest part to explain, is slamming on the brakes when the data was showing that it might be warranted to do some cuts. And again, these cuts, if you do 25 bips, it's like, it's not that big. It's not that, and it takes time to work through the system.
It does take time.
Right, it takes time. So now we're getting all this revised data, and like, I don't know if something's if something breaks, you can't go, okay, you know, 50 bips or you know, a whole point. It's like, it doesn't work like that. It felt like we had it on the right track to kind of stay, you know, tight enough, even with a 25 bip here, a 25 bip there, and you're still kind of tight, and you're monitoring that inflation, and it the whole process seemed to get political.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Brendan, and I got to throw this up here for everybody. Yeah. It's time. It's time to burr. It's absolute time to burr.
Time.
Get the printers out. Let's turn these things on. Let's throw money into the system and let's have we're the Crypto 101 podcast. So, you know, if you're not going to do it right, if you're going to do it wrong, turn them on. Let's have some fun.
Well, this is actual footage, by the way, of Jerome Powell and the Fed scrambling after this data. If you can't tell, this is secret leaked footage. It's actually what's going on. They're in mass panic trying to get the printers ready. but no, all jokes aside, you know, it is time. And that's the great thing about crypto, is if I was just a stock person, if I was just an equities person, I would be furious. I would be enraged. I would be also nervous. I'd be pretty scared and being like, what are we doing here? And look at what path this could send us down. The beauty of this is that we look at the crypto market and we have some redeeming qualities. We're not always tied to what's going on in the TradFi side. We've actually seen that in recent weeks here with crypto showing some resiliency. And also, you know, where crypto is going to do good, at least historically, it has almost always done good during a rate cutting environment. So we have that as a redeeming factor as well. So as crypto, we can look at this and say, hey, it's frustrating. Maybe it does impact us if things really escalate to the bad side. But for the most part, you know, crypto should come out of this successful. And again, I think that this data just shows us. I think it puts the nail in the coffin of saying we should get not only more rate cuts than expected, probably ideally for the end of this year, certainly next year, we should get more rate cuts than expected. And I would think that they are going to be larger than expected too. I would have ruled out a 50 basis point rate cut as any of the options for the rest of this year. I would have said it's probably 20% chance. I think that's going up pretty significantly.
Yeah, I think it's worth, again, we're just a couple guys talking crypto, talking markets, talking finances. We're not giving personal financial advice for anybody, but I'm about to open up Kalshi and check out the odds on 50 bips for next week. So that's kind of where this discussion is leading us. We'll put a pin in it here just because it's going to be something that we're going to cover next week too. The Fed meeting is next Wednesday, the 17th. We're going to get the big decision. And if anything, you know, I think we want everybody to win, right? We want the economy to do good. We want everybody to have jobs because that's the sustainable track of a cycle, right? The healthier the economy, the more everybody can win. Real estate can win, stocks can win, crypto can win. The problem with what we're showing on the screen, as funny as it is, when you really crank the printers and turn it on, there are some negative effects to it. Yeah. And you have to be vigilant and understand those things. And I think that's the important part of everybody that's with us today. We have a ton of people in the chat going crazy. And we appreciate you guys being here, but that's what you need to do. It's all about the education process. It's all in your community so we can navigate these things together, and that's what we're going to do. Just from the chat, man, we got Lou's thinking two, Ryan's thinking 2-3, one this year, one next. I mean, I think that was the base case until today, really. Two, we've seen some twos, 50 bips was the play last week. Oh, Brian McNutt's in the chat. There he is. Brian McNutt, 50 bips. What a legend. Brian's going to be on later this week, Friday with me. If you guys remember, I put out the schedule for it. So, again, I think that this too late. I mean, it's like, you feel bad. Like I feel bad for Jerome Powell in a way because I don't think he's a bad person.
No.
I think he's a very well-spoken person.
Yeah.
I think he's in a way, he's very, you know, as a leader, he presents himself super well.
Yeah.
And then obviously Trump has his tactics and trashes him, too late Powell and the Twitter and all that stuff, which like is kind of funny if I'm being honest, but I do feel bad for him because he didn't, you know, that's not his Jerome Powell. That's not his style. He doesn't know how to react to that. But you know, when you let yourself kind of get on the one side of the boat here, it's like, let's, you know, it's time. It's time. I've let this video play long enough, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, well, I'll throw up the charts. We got a lot of other news and stuff that we want to talk about. We're going to take a quick look at the charts before we do that. So let us know, you know, if there's anything that you all are super interested in. But you know, just at a high level here, what we see on Bitcoin is that we topped out towards the middle part of August, around August 14th. And what we've seen since then is kind of this lower low, lower high, lower low, lower high, lower low. And we are fearful, you know, hey, are we going to start rejecting these moving averages? Are we going to continue seeing this trend of lower highs and lower lows all the way down? And in recent days, we've started to see the early signs of what could possibly be a pivot away from this, because instead of seeing kind of lower highs and lower lows, well, now we've started to see a nice little basin around this. We call it the AVWAP, or the anchored VWAP, which stands for anchored volume weighted average price, from the April pivot point that we had earlier this year. So that was the April lows. So if we plot one of these anchored VWAPs from those April lows, it brings us right to, you know, roughly where we bottomed. And we saw this pivot happening towards the very early part of September. And then we started moving higher and then pulling back and then pushing into the constant highs. And so instead of seeing this constant lower highs, well, now we're seeing a flat level of resistance, right? A consistent level of highs that's sideways instead of declining. So from a TA perspective, this caught my eye and I said, okay, This is like the first step in the right direction. Is it a guaranteed pivot? No, but again, it's the first step in breaking the trend, is getting something thrown off here. So we started seeing some very like micro higher swing lows, some decent little consistent highs, a little bit of a wrench in this kind of lower low, lower high that we've seen on the charts here. So a little bit of a break in structure back to the upside, and I like that. However, we have not been able to break this structure. Going above like 112, 113. You can see that, hey, we've come up here and we've rejected. We've come up here and we've rejected. We've come up here and we're rejecting again today on some of this bad news. And Bitcoin's falling a little bit back to the downside. Now, the cool thing is, so long as Bitcoin kind of holds a higher low here, really above around 110K, so long as it holds above that area, the chart's still looking decent. If we start to roll over, we could probably see Bitcoin float down to around 106, 107 again. Wouldn't be too surprised if we see that. And then, of course, we have a massive support level over by 102,000 near this 200-day moving average. Now, if we do get the pivot and we get the reversal here, TiVo, I think Bitcoin's on a mission. A little bit of resistance around 115K. After that, I don't see a whole ton of resistance until Bitcoin's back above 120,000, probably closer to 123,000. So some good signs on Bitcoin. Let's keep a close eye on this. All we need is to not have a rejection of this 112 to 113K level. So long as we can kind of crack that, I think Bitcoin makes a pretty easy move back to the upside. For Ethereum, it's been a little bit different. And same with Solana. For Ethereum here, we've kind of hit this top towards the end of August, showing more strength than Bitcoin. However, since then, it started to just flatten out. I mean, you can see it barcoding back and forth here below the 20-day, but above the 50-day moving average. So this thing's just going sideways. I think the number one thing that we need to watch here is, when are we going to break this range? We have this range to the upside. We have this range to the downside. Whenever we kind of break and close above or below either of these moving averages, that's going to be the sign of like, okay, we probably have continuation in that direction. So pretty tight range between around 4,500 on Ethereum to the upside and around 4,200 on the downside. And we can see that very, very clearly happening. The oddball out here is Solana. This thing has been outperforming. And we've talked about this on the show where we've said there's this balance beam, or as I like to call it, the teeter-totter, where Ethereum's hot, Solana's hot. So Ethereum's hot, Solana's hot. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. And we have these seasons where one outperforms the other. Well, you know, Solana here has been getting a lot of attention. We're going to talk about some of these catalysts that they have a little bit later on. We've already been, and some of these catalysts will be, guests that we've had on the podcast in recent months talking about all this stuff before it even happened. So stay tuned for that. But on the chart here, listen, Solana looks like one of the best charts out there. You know, you look at this thing, it's pushing higher, and then we have higher lows. High, higher low, up, higher low, up, higher low. I mean, it's climbing on every pullback. It's pushing into a flat level of support. It's trying to break out. It was hitting new multi-month highs yesterday. That's something that Bitcoin wasn't doing, Ethereum wasn't doing, most other altcoins weren't doing. And Solana's out here trying to push to these, you know, multi-month highs and make a breakout run for probably 250 to 260 again. So good things happening all around. We've seen a lot of other altcoins be pretty successful. Hyperliquid hitting new all-time highs as of today, which is a really cool thing to see. We're seeing some stablecoin-related projects also do pretty well. But I mean, yeah, just overall a lot going on, TiVo. I wish we had more time to like dive into all these. But there's a lot of news to talk about and a lot of catalysts that we need to bring up as well.
Right. And that's kind of the fun part of the show, is we do a little bit of everything. Obviously, you're our TA master. And again, just a friendly reminder, we have a ton of people in the chat. Obviously, please like, subscribe. If you haven't, definitely subscribe. Bottom right, you'll see our picture. And give us a thumbs up. It helps us grow the channel. We really appreciate it. And then for the TA specifically, if you are interested in being a part of Brendan's group, I put a link down in the description. So if you go down in the description, open it up. There's a couple links there for you to check out. Again, it's kind of to be more of our community and get more access to us full time. If you're not interested, no worries. We're going to be here all the time for free for you guys. But specifically for technical analysis, I know your micro bull run course is opening up another cohort. So I put the link for that. Yeah. If anybody wants more TA, basically what we just did, Brendan does live sessions twice a week for 1 hour, answers all your questions, and then we have tons of tutorials to make sure that you can kind of master that technical analysis trait. If that's something that you're interested in, check out the link below. But as we move forward, kind of all that sets the table of like, yeah. Okay, here we are in September. We're eyeing up rate cuts next week. We're obviously going to see the amounts of them next Wednesday, like I said. And kind of we're in this little bit of range bound. There's been some news and some popcorning, as we like to call it, right? Some things are popping off a little bit more than others. But specifically, I pulled some videos. I feel like we haven't had a ton of videos on the last couple episodes of our favorite characters. So we have a couple. The first one's going to be Michael Saylor. He was on CNBC this week, so I pulled that clip for us. Let's just it's basically kind of given an end of year outlook for, you know, what he's seeing with the markets, with MicroStrategy, with Bitcoin. So let's take a look at Michael Saylor.
Check out price of Bitcoin this morning. The cryptocurrency up over 100% this year. Joining us right now is Bitcoin bull Michael Saylor, a strategy executive chairman. You know him from MicroStrategy. People are still getting those names, you know, figured out. So we had Tom Lee on the broadcast. I don't know if you saw this earlier today. And he effectively said Bitcoin at $111,000 is headed to $200,000 effectively by Christmas. What do you think of that?
Well, most of the equity analysts that follow our stock have target prices for Bitcoin, and they're all north of 150. Bitcoin represents a digital transformation of the capital markets. And so the more people know about it, the more they get educated on it, the more companies embrace it, the higher it goes. You can't make any more of it.
Right. That may be all. But in terms of just...
So a little starter there, a little platter. He didn't really throw out a number. He said the lowest analyst prediction for Bitcoin that he's seeing is 150K. As we gear up for October, I got one more for us. You know, it's not a crypto rundown if we don't bring up our friend Tom Lee. Let's listen to what Tom has to say. And it does actually transition us into a separate topic that we have not talked about before. So I know we play a lot of Tom Lee clips, but it really is important to bring up today because there is some wild news, honestly, around the Tom Lee sphere of BitMine. But he talks about Bitcoin too, which I think is important for him to continue to kind of talk about Bitcoin because he is such a Bitcoin bull that he doesn't get lost in the ETH stuff. So let's hear what Tom's saying.
Hey Tom, Bitcoin, before we let you go, tell us what you think. We're at about $111,000. The upside, the downside from here?
Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies like Ethereum are super sensitive to monetary policy. So I think that September 17th is an important catalyst. Crypto typically does really well in the fourth quarter. So I think Bitcoin can easily get to 200,000 before year end. I know it's a big move. It's almost a double, but that's also
almost
going to be
a double from
for...
here. Let's just take a quick pause. A double from here. So everybody's listening to this. We're at $111,000. And you think we, by Christmas time, effectively, we could be at 200,000?
That's right. One of the reasons Bitcoin stalled this year is the Fed's been on pause for 9 months. That pause all year, if you look at an easing cycle, that's only happened two other times in 1998 and 2024, where the Fed began to resume cuts in the fourth quarter in September. Equities do really well. As you know, crypto is beta to equity. So I think it's going to be a very strong fourth quarter. Small caps should also rally, like IWM, but that also is really bullish for Ethereum, which is highly linked to small caps.
So Tom Lee feeling bullish here, and I'm jumping around our sheet a little bit here, Brendan, just because I wanted to finish off. As Tom said, rate cuts are coming, and then just kind of a quick note here of what we're seeing is just continued bullishness in the regulation space. It's stuff that we bring up all the time. So I saw this the other day. It didn't get too much play on the timeline. I don't think anybody has too much information around it. But again, the SEC is hosting a public crypto roundtable on October 17th. So kind of that was our whole kind of setting the stage. Summer's over. We're eyeing up fourth quarter. It's coming quick. We've got rate cuts. We've got continued regulation. We've got permabulls, you know, saying 150 to 200K Bitcoin, you know, and then obviously what we'll cover next is a little bit more in the altcoin world. But
Any final thoughts on how we've set the table? It's almost like we're getting ready for Thanksgiving here. It feels like a full buffet.
No, I think it's exactly that. I mean, listen, they are very much in line with what we think as to some of these catalysts and what can happen. We know that there typically is an acceleration in the fourth quarter. And I think that's the big thing that we're watching out for here, is saying, hey, September is one of the worst months for crypto, but that usually leads us into the best season of crypto in one of, if not the best month, which is typically October. So just buckle up, prepare for some chop. But historically speaking, we should be heading into what would likely be like the breakout rally for a lot of cryptos.
Yeah. And again, that's what we're here to do. We're going to try to educate you the best we can and bring you all the news. But kind of transitioning from that Tom Lee video, we have to talk about somebody that we have mentioned on the program before. Clearly not as much as Tom or Mike or Sale or anybody, but his name's Dan Ives. And for the people who don't know, Dan Ives is the works at Wedbush, and he's just a very famous, you know, technology investor, technology analyst. You know, he's somebody that when you turn on the TV, whether it's CNBC or Fox Business or anything, he's always talking about, you know, Google, Apple. Yeah, I think he's the one that coined the term the godfather of AI, Jensen Huang. I think he has fun terms as it's a leather jacket. It's a leather jacket quarter for NVIDIA. He's a really fun guy. He's always dressed really colorful, as you can see there in the picture. And similar, and again, we bring in Tom Lee because we got to remember when Tom Lee kind of got announced as on the board of BitMine with the strategy that he was going to implore into BitMine, the stock absolutely rocketed. And basically yesterday, out of nowhere, did we miss? I mean, this thing came out of nowhere. And it was announced that Dan Ives is going to be the chair for basically a treasury company for WorldCoin, which is backed by Sam Altman. So let's just, anything to add about Dan Ives or WorldCoin? I do have a video that I was going to play just kind of explaining what his theory behind WorldCoin is. So I thought we could play that before we pull up the Tom Lee part of this. But any takes on Dan Ives, Brendan, before we play the video?
No, I would say let's play the video first.
Got it. All right, let's do this. So this was, we'll share this. And here's Dan Ives talking about his strategy with WorldCoin.
Explain it all for us.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd say in this AI revolution, when you think about everything going on in terms of the trillions being spent, the biggest thing missing is identification, authentication. And, you know, what Sam and Alex and the team have built at World, when you think about these orbs, the iris scanning, in my opinion, this is going to be the de facto standard. When we think about separating from bots, identifying humans, and ultimately, this is really more of an infrastructure play. It's really the intersection of AI and crypto. That's why I'm so excited, you know, as taking this role as chairman, given my passion for AI and what I think the role that World's going to play.
Explain it all.
Just, I mean, he is the AI guy on Wall Street, if you will, the AI visionary. It's hard to, I feel two ways about this. I think it's interesting. These are the type of people that when they talk, everybody listens. And I think that kind of was showcased when Tom Lee did the BitMine thing and you see the stock rocket. The same thing happened with Dan Ives. So I don't know if we want to pull up the chart or if we just want to share the tweet. I'll pull up the tweet first, but I don't really know where to take this because I do have mixed feelings about it, honestly, because it's so crazy. It's so parabolic. So basically, Tom Lee and BitMine had some cash, and they're investing in companies that are kind of working on building on Ethereum. And Tom and BitMine purchased some shares, 13.7 million shares of Okta, which is the company that Dan Ives is now going to be on the board. And when this was announced yesterday, the stock, am I saying this? It was like 4,200% or something in a day, Brendan?
At one point, it was over 5,000%.
Crazy.
And it ended up still being, I think at the end of the day, around 2,500%, which is a 25X on his investment. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know the last time I saw any stock go up 5,000% in a day. It stood out to me for sure. I think it stood out to the whole market. I mean, everyone's looking at the thing, like, what in the world is going on? Now, it's lost a lot of that since, right? And when you look at it off the highs, I think it's already down around 55% from its high of $83 back down to around $37. But it's still just a ridiculous move that it has had. And WorldCoin is up, I think, over 110% in the last two or so days. So both of these are getting some pretty big catalysts. But I mean, Octo is one of the craziest things I have seen in a long time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it does remind me, I mean, again, not personal financial advice. You got to do your own research. When there's a move like that, you got to let that one breathe. But just similar to BitMine, like when BitMine came out, I was like, man, I can't believe we didn't hear, you know, you don't hear about this stuff until it hits the news wire and the stock rockets. You miss out on that big move. And there's always, you know, definitely some insiders are winning. I mean, that's like, it's kind of why I have mixed feelings about it. It's like, man, well, how do you hear about this stuff before it just gets announced? Yeah. But it was similar with BitMine. Like, we talked about it on the show. We had the same reactions. Like, that's a crazy move, something to watch. But, you know, it's too much of a move to probably make a move here. And then we waited. And, you know, as I said on the show, it was like, hey, I took a stab at it when I thought it dropped enough. And, you know, it's been a good position so far. You know, obviously it's more of a moonshot than, you know, your traditional something, you know, fundamentally that you want to hold on to for a super long time, because it's this new treasury crypto play. But it goes back to the point that we've been talking about nonstop, is like, everybody's like, when's alt season? And I think I've said this on the show a ton, is like, alt season is here in certain different areas as this corner. It's like the cocoon of crypto is morphing into a butterfly, and the butterfly is a mix of TradFi and crypto. Like, it's not segregated anymore. Like, I just think there's so much money sloshing around that it's interesting when these narratives are breaking and all this money is flowing into these stocks that are just based on this altcoin treasury company. Like, it's a fascinating, fascinating time to be in crypto. Again, if you're here watching, you're in the right spot. You know, some of this stuff, and I don't want to speak for you, Brendan, but like this one really caught me off guard yesterday, and I was just like, WorldCoin, like what? And then it's like, how, I want to tee up for this, because there's always that question, like, how are these altcoins and crypto going to merge into these stocks and companies? And there's so many different regulations around all this. So it's like, how does WorldCoin turn itself into a business in a way, right? That's kind of my thought.
Yeah, I think so. How does it turn itself into a proper business? How does it get better numbers? I think it also, truthfully, I think it needs better tokenomics. If you look at the coin prior to this move, it has been just brutally, like, bleeding out to the downside for a long time now. And it's been a really bad looking chart. And then this move comes and it sends it soaring and it's back on people's radar and stuff. I still don't think that changes the tokenomic structure of it, right? People are getting rewarded, and what are they going to do with these tokens? You know, are they going to just get them, say, hey, cool, I made, you know, whatever it is, like $100, and are they just going to sell them for cash? Unfortunately, that's what ends up happening. You know, a lot of this is done in developing countries, and people get a paycheck, a pretty decent one, for something really, really simple. And then they take the cash. It's like the same people who go to donate like blood and plasma, and, you know, they sign up for different surveys and events and they get paid a little bit for them. And they take the cash and they run and say, cool, I'm going to go out to eat. I'm going to go buy a new pair of shoes. I'm going to go buy a new hat, like whatever it is. And I think that there needs to be a slight change in tokenomic structure, maybe a burn mechanism, maybe a buyback program. I think that they still need something for me to be more on board. Now, I think, again, the tech and all this stuff, the fundamentals behind WorldCoin are really, really cool. And I understand why Dan Ives is so excited about them. But my problem here is that there's a little bit of a disconnect between the fundamentals and what the project is doing with their tech and the tokenomics of their actual crypto. And that's where I think there's a disconnect. If you can solve that, this becomes a really, really different story. And so that's my only drawback here, is saying, hey, let's figure out some of the tokenomics, and this could be a big thing. But
yeah, that's why you're my leader, because you said it so much better than me. I was just, it was confusing, and it felt like a mix, a true mixed reviews, because again, Ethereum and Bitcoin is so much more mature, so much easier to kind of explain, read the tokenomics, bigger market cap. And then, you know, the WorldCoin thing was just like, man, Dan Ives has such an influence on the technology space. So then to bring WorldCoin into a stock treasury play and just his reach is so big that there's so many people that hear this. And clearly with the stock price going up 5,000% a day, you know, and there's tons of people playing there. I think for us, I don't want to speak for you, but for what we try to do here and educate, it's like, that's a huge, huge risk for the retail crowd to see a move like that, to see Dan Ives talk about this thing and it's connected to Sam Altman and ChatGPT. And it's just like, oh, I got to buy this now. And that's, and Pete, like, again, it's down 50% from the highs yesterday. So like, you know, whatever amount of money you in there, poof, 50% is gone.
Yeah.
And not to say it can't get back there. And what Brendan said perfectly of like, if there is a future of this merging of WorldCoin to a business and the treasury company, it's totally possible. Totally possible. And I don't think Dan, I think Dan Ives is such a reputable person that he's thinking about all that too. I believe that, right? He has a fiduciary duty at Wedbush. But yeah, man, I had mixed reviews on that one. Mixed feelings.
Rightfully so. So, I mean, hey, Tom Lee made it out with the bag. I think he made something like 20 million turn into 550 million. So props to him, man. He made almost a half a billy.
Yeah. And then I guess, yeah, that was for specifically for Bitmine on their balance sheet. So I guess as a holder of Bitmine, I did okay yesterday. Who knows? Well, all we know is when this stuff comes, we're going to be the first ones to bring it to you, the first ones to try to break it down for you. We appreciate everybody still here, man. The live just keeps growing. If you're new, again, bottom right, you'll see our logo. Give it a click, subscribe, and give us a thumbs up because it helps us grow the channel and keep doing these free shows. Moving on, the topic continues, Brendan, of the TradFi and DeFi just absolutely merging. You know that this is one near and dear to our hearts. Robinhood has been added to the S&P 500. Unbelievable, to be honest. And I think it's so special. I don't do this a lot, but, you know, just throwing in some applause. I mean, again, if you're somebody that listened to our show for a long time, if you're a long time listener, you know that Brent and I have been talking Robinhood, trading Robinhood. If you're a Crypto 101 interview listener, we brought on Robinhood back in February of 23. It's been an absolute rocket shot from that in the crypto play. So everybody knew what Robinhood was. Everybody knew coming out of COVID, it was kind of like this almost, you know, gambling platform, if you will. But we were one of the first ones. And I really, really, obviously I talk about it all the time, but like, I really think that's one of our coolest moments of digging under the hood there and getting the crypto people on at Robinhood here early to talk about it and hear their vision. And then again, that's when the stock was, you know, $8, $9, $10, and now it's $115. And, you know, they're really, really being a leader in the space. I think they fired off the gun for the tokenization of stocks race with their latest event they did over the summer, partnering with Arbitrum. Mm-hmm. And again, this is like Coinbase and MicroStrategy, and they're kind of getting into big indices where, you're getting 401ks and different ETFs and just constant flow of money into these companies. And you know, it's a huge, huge validation. The biggest one, I guess, if you will, maybe I'm wrong there, but the biggest validation is the S&P 500. And
I'd agree, yeah, man. And like, we've been on this. And the cool thing is that they've made a huge effort to be an integrated part of the crypto community and the crypto industry. And it's benefited them just in massive ways. And now what we have is another huge crypto and blockchain advocate in the S&P. And that's a good thing to see. And there's rumors that maybe, you know, MicroStrategy is next, or sorry, Strategy now. Maybe they're next. But yeah, you know, it feels justified. And we ranted a little bit last week of like, how in the world is Interactive Brokers getting added before Robinhood? And then sure enough, we got our redemption on Friday when this happened.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Yeah, and so we've obviously been on the case and talking about it. It's good to see him there. Tons of passive flows will go in, and I think that it's Hood Week, I believe. I think they have an event tonight. It's September 9th. I think they might be launching. It's that Vegas event that me and you were talking about. Yeah, maybe doing some new features. I know they have a crypto bonus if people are interested. I think it's a free 2% bonus if you transfer. And you know, obviously you want to do your research, and there's other people that are always offering bonuses. It's nothing that we're personally affiliated with in any way. But another Crypto 101 interview that, again, is leading the forefront of what's going on in crypto and just in general in finance. Shout out to our friends over at Soul Strategies. We had Leah Wald and Max Kaplan on not too long ago, this year. And we met them, and we had them on the podcast, and then their company Soul Strategies, obviously based around a Solana strategy. And now, I believe today, 9-9, congratulations to them. It's official. They are now trading on the NASDAQ. So again, just another crypto-focused company, you know, getting to be traded. What do you think, Brendan? I mean, it was awesome to have it on. I was actually DMing Max because he's local to where I live. We were talking about maybe meeting up and catching up, and we'd love to have them back on the podcast sometime for sure. But again, just this kind of thesis that I feel like me and you have built on this show, the rundown of, you know, crypto and DeFi and TradFi, crypto, traditional finance, stocks, it's all bleeding into one right before our eyes.
Yeah, it is. And listen, you know, we like to think that a lot of different cryptos can succeed here. We're not maxis in any sense. But listen, I mean, we think Bitcoin can do well. We think Ethereum is going to do well. We certainly think Solana is going to do well. And, you know, they were talking about doing this before Solana was going crazy and all this stuff. You know, in the dip, we had them on and we were talking about this. And so I think Solana is certainly going to be another one to keep an eye out on, because there is room for more than one layer one inside of crypto, right? It's big enough for multiple.
No, 100%. We'll continue to cover it because I think it's super important. Yeah. But we've talked about the narrative game and how these narratives transition. And Solana had it at the beginning of the year. Ethereum kind of has it now, and kind of feels like we're in that phase where who's gonna lead us, right? Who's gonna lead us forward? Is it gonna be Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana? We think all tides, you know, will lift all boats eventually. But there usually is some narrative that takes it and kind of is the leader. And you could make the case for Solana being next just because of their ETF with the SEC, mm-hmm. and kind of getting that through. could be that next wave of catalyst. And then along with, you know, Sol Strategies being on the NASDAQ, and then there's going to be a ton of Solana treasuries, I'm sure, that are going to come out of the woodwork. But what are you seeing with the SEC's decision on these Solana spot ETFs?
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one because people thought that these were going to get, and myself included, thought that this was going to get approved faster than it has, right? We're in September and we still don't have any Solana ETF approvals. We don't have any XRP ETF approvals. We've had nothing besides Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I think that there was this idea that, oh, Paul Atkins is going to be the head of the SEC. He's better than Gary Gensler for the crypto market. There's all this pro-crypto administration and regulation coming through. We're going to get these. And we've seen, you know, what, 200 plus crypto ETF applications, and none of them have gotten approved yet. So now what we're doing is we're pushing into the final stretch of the Solana ETFs. I mean, it says it right in the headline, the final deadline for the SEC's decision on the Solana spot ETF applications is now only 32 days away. You're now even less than that. It's 30 days away. And so the final ruling is set for October 10th here. You can see all the different players in there. They have a 95% chance of approval, but we keep pushing them off. So now what we're doing here is we're getting into the final deadline. Are we going to get these or are we not going to get these? You would think, and again, 95% chance of approval, you would think here that that's a no-brainer. I mean, Solana has it, Litecoin has it, XRP has it. You know, a lot of these cryptos are sitting at 90 or 95%. So it looks as if it's almost a certainty that we get it October 10th. I think we will, but if we don't, a lot of people are going to be frustrated. They're going to be like, what in the world? You know, we're talking a big game. We're talking about all this pro crypto stuff. We're going to be the crypto capital of the world. And now we can't get an altcoin ETF passed. So I think that it will cause a pretty big uproar, and people would be justifiably pretty upset if this doesn't happen, but it looks like it will. So I don't want to like get worked up for nothing, but It looks as if we will get this by October 10th. That's the final deadline here. Now, will we get staking in that? We don't know. I think when staking eventually comes around, I think both Ethereum and Solana will be eligible. But at face value here, you know, I think we start seeing a lot of these ETF providers get approved October 10th or hopefully before that. And that includes like Grayscale, VanEck, 21Shares, Canary, Bitwise, Franklin Templeton, Fidelity, CoinShares, Invesco. And you'll notice that BlackRock is not on that list. I think that they will come out with one so long as everyone else does all the heavy lifting. Does that make sense? You know, listen, yep. They know that they dominate the vast majority of Ethereum ETF activity, of Bitcoin ETF activity. They can say, hey, you all do all the heavy lifting, and then we're going to come in, we're BlackRock, we're going to take a bunch of the volume and market share, but they're letting everyone else do the hard work and take all the risks. And I would imagine that they move in here as well because they've made so much dang money off of their Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs, the most successful ETFs in history. It'd be a no-brainer for them to not, or to add these in as well.
Yeah, I think it's there's two sides of the coin. I agree that they'll happen. I did pluck something that I said maybe we'll share for Thursday, but let's just pull it up anyway because it's going to bleed into my thought here. The NASDAQ files to allow tokenization and blockchain listing of stocks. Interesting, right? It's the movement that's going forward. Everybody's doing it, so the NASDAQ needs to do it. And I think I bring this up specifically because it feels like it might be one of these situations. And again, this is tinfoil hat TiVo. We're taking out the aluminum foil. We're wrapping it on our heads. Pointy thing to the sky. Conspiracy. It's just like the powers that be are pumping the brakes on this because all these other institutions need to be able to get set up so that they can profit. I really think that this might be the case where, you know, there's all these little guys like a Robinhood, for example, the last 2 to 3 years that have been building, and all these companies that we talk about all the time, right? Building. all these people and companies that have been building to profit off this and known and made the bet that this is going to be the future are ready to go. And then there's a lot of big time institutions and the usual winners that are not ready to go. And so I think that's why this could be slowed down to the point where it's almost annoying, because it's giving time for everybody else to catch up and prepare and get their offerings together. Because again, there's old guards, and as much as, you know, we're definitely the new kids on the block and shaking up the game, which we have done. There's people that need to win, and they have the powers that be to kind of dictate the rules of the game sometimes that get to be played. It's the sad reality of the world. Life's not fair. But that I think that isn't an awful take. I think that could be the case.
I would agree, man. I would agree. And we'll see. You know, we got a lot coming our way, and tokenization is kind of the talk of the town.
Right. And let's transition. I'm jumping around the sheet, Brendan, but I'll guide you. I'll guide us to the finish line, I promise. The type of drama you read about, Justin Sun beefing with World Liberty Phi and the Trump team, huh? It's like, it is pretty funny when, you know, the people that, again, kind of like what I talked about, there's people that are, you know, get little early access to stuff, and you're like, oh man, if I had that, I would win. I'd win all the time too. And it's like, well, Justin Sun was not happy about, I believe it was his World Liberty Phi tokens. He was in early thinking it was going to be the Ripper. And then obviously the World Liberty Phi token launch didn't go, you know, how a lot of people planned that were in it. And then he might've gotten locked up again. We don't have, access to his funds to give you, but that's what he was tweeting out. He went on a tweet storm against you know, Team Trump, Team World Liberty Phi, and I thought that was I don't know, I don't want to use the word funny, but it was kind of funny.
Apparently he was doing like shady things with his tokens, and they were saying he was manipulating price, suppressing price, like selling it off, like doing malicious acts with his shares, and they were tracking stuff back to his accounts and his wallets, and they said, we're not doing any of that. And they banned him. And then he's saying, I'm innocent and I didn't do this. And, you know, I don't know. I think no matter which way you look at this, people are going to be divided, right? Justin Sun has a big following and fan base. Clearly the Trump family has a big following and fan base. Clearly a lot of people really don't like Justin Sun. And also a lot of people really don't like the Trumps. So you have this group, you have two groups where people either really love them or they really hate them. And you're just going to have the people, the fan bases of both sides just support them. And then they're going to hate on the other person. And, you know, it's interesting for sure. Because he is a big player, right? Regardless of whether you think he's a good or a bad actor. He's a big player. So.
Yeah. And again, it was just, I mean, funny, not in the sense of people getting tokens locked or doing this or doing that. It was just like, whenever that stuff starts breaking out on X, I do find it like really interestingly funny, where it's just, there's nowhere else to go. You got to go to the public square.
Yeah.
So we're wrapping up the show. We have two more topics to tease it. We have one very serious topic just to try to educate you guys, make sure everybody stays safe in the crypto world, and one funny one. And then we have time for questions. So questions will be like 2-3 minutes from now. So if you want to start tossing them in the chat, we're going to pick out a couple. But the serious one, Brendan, I want you to fully take this just so everybody can stay safe, is the Ledger CTO came out and said there was a large scale hack on the JavaScript ecosystem. And it kind of was affecting on-chain transactions for both, you know, cold wallets, soft wallets, hardware wallets. You had to be really, really, really careful over the last 24 hours of what you were doing with your wallets. So could you just give everybody a little breakdown of what happened and give them the best tips so that they can stay safe?
Yeah, it was kind of, I don't know, ambiguous or shady the way that he was talking about it. And he left it like somewhat open-ended of like, hey, this event was going on. And like the more we looked into it, like there was some basically some shady and maybe malicious stuff happening over on Ethereum. And it looked as if, you know, there was going to be different sites in places that were compromised. And so basically what he was saying in short was like, hey, there's bad stuff happening right now. Don't send any transactions, you know, just so that you're not even at risk of this. You don't want to have the risk of getting in trouble or running into one of these issues. And so, in short, you know, it was basically some shady bad stuff was happening on ETH. Since then, it's been figured and solved out, and it's not a big deal anymore. But he just came out here with like a warning, and I think it was a bit more extreme than it needed to be, in my opinion. And it was this, don't do any transactions. Everyone's at risk. And it was kind of a bit of a, I don't know, exaggeration of probably what the situation actually was. But, you know, nonetheless, I like the fact that he's just trying to keep people safe and keep everyone in the loop of this stuff. I think it was also blown out of proportion just a little bit. But nonetheless, you know, definitely an event and stuff, but
right, and,
I didn't read too credit, much into it.
Yeah, credit to Brian McNutt. He was the first one that threw it in our chat and got people thinking about it. But it also, yeah, it did seem like it kind of got legs of its own, like the whole internet's going down or something. And then we know there was the, on top of that, there was kind of the cable snipping breaks in the you know, foreign lands. People were snipping internet, and that didn't get a ton of coverage on the news. So just, I don't know. The world's a scary place. We try to keep it crypto and finance here. But yeah, again, we just want everybody to be safe. And again, as I've said many times, this is not personal financial advice for anybody. However, it felt like Big Sean at one of his concerts recently was giving personal financial advice to the whole crowd here. Let's listen to what Big Sean had to say at one of his most recent shows, as he is quite bullish for Q4.
Crypto, and if it is one time that I'm going to say this, this is now, you're not too late. Invest in crypto right now, tonight if you can. Like, do that shit tonight. You're going to get a return from it. You know, Bitcoin is a good one, Ethereum. What's the other one you said? Ripple. Invest in that shit. I'm telling y'all right now, this is a quick flip. Do it tonight. It's about to go up. You know, I think it's about to go up. It's not like I got no inside information.
A little save at the end there, Brendan. You know, not like I have any inside information there. How funny is that? We talk about this all the time. We love the XRP Army, friends of the show, the XRP Army. We love it. But like the whole crowd, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, what else? And the whole crowd's just like XRP, XRP. Like, how does this happen? We talk about it all the time. How does this happen?
I think that's the funniest part, is that he's like Bitcoin, Ethereum. It's like the two most popular ones. He's like telling everyone to invest in it. He's like, what's the other one called? It's like anyone who's like someone in the crypto knows, like Solana, XRP, like anything else that's relatively large. And I don't know, that part had me cracking up. He's like, what's that other one called? Dude, and everyone's like, XRP.
XRP, XRP. I was really hoping somebody was going to say Pengu or maybe Nobody Sausage. For those that watch the program a lot, and I see Brian McNutt is still in the chat. He's coming back Friday to give you a full update. But if you listen to that show that we did, I guess it's 10 days ago now, a couple Fridays ago, Brian brought an absolute gem to the dance in the meme coin markets, because that's what he does. He's an absolute legend. But he's going to be back Friday to give us an update on Nobody Sausage. But an amazing call. But that's a little teaser for Friday. We have some questions. Shout out to Big Sean. Big Sean is a legend. Just, you know, Big Sean. So in the sense that, yeah, maybe not the best person to be giving financial advice from, but you know, funny enough that he brought it up, and the nice little ending there where he's like, not that I have any inside info or anything like that. Let's see. We got some questions. Wow. The chat is absolutely buzzing. Do you think the market's going to pump before the rate cut decisions? Do you think we start pumping before the rate cut announcement next Wednesday? Friend of the program, Ryan. You know, I'll give my take. Obviously, I want yours. I think that it's very, very hard to trade these rate cuts. And I think I've talked about this on the show. I know I've talked about it with you, Brendan. I went all in on a rate cut play last year going into the Santa Claus rally, and I got absolutely burned by Powell. Absolutely burned. I could talk to you all day about my Robinhood trades and 10xing and sometimes even more playing with options. I could also tell you about how Fed Chair Powell ruined my Christmas last year. I learned a valuable lesson there that I'll share with you guys. Again, it is in a way, I think there's a lot of things that we do. It's a lot more investing and kind of long-term views. And that's, you know, where we have all done really well on the team and the community. When you start doing these short-term plays, you gotta take into effect, you know, whether it's Brendan teaching you how to do the stop losses and trade the technicals and have, you know, stop outs and take profits. You know, if you go in naked, it's basically gambling. So you got to be careful. Just for a take sense, I do think with these numbers, these jobs numbers are a little scary. You know, if they come out and do two rate cuts, if they do 50 bips, you could see the market take that and be scared. Like, wow, they're getting some information now, plus those job numbers that we just saw revised, that something might be broken. Yeah. And if the market thinks something is broken, we are way too high because we're at all-time highs, right? Yeah. So something's broken. The market's going to get scared. And either way, if it rockets up, I don't know. I don't know if you're really chasing that, in my opinion. I'm kind of going to be on the wait and see. We're going to be making a ton of content around it. I don't necessarily think I'm making a position either way. If anything, I'm going to try to be more capital protective going into this, because I don't want to get caught in some crazy, you know, rip to the down when people think something's broken.
Yeah, I mean, last December was a great example of, like, you think one thing is absolutely going to happen and then the opposite happens. Like, that one specifically, we won't get too into it, but it was like rate cuts. And then on the meeting, he's talking about rate hikes and everyone's like, what in the world? And it was just destructive. So I don't like to play these events in terms of, like, I don't trade specifically for these events. Now, I'll trade the idea of, like, rate cuts in the direction that we're heading and, like, the macro effects of all this. But I'm not getting into a trade that day of the event. I'm not getting into a trade for that event specifically, if that makes sense. We don't really do that around here. And also with these kind of FOMC-like events, you get just crazy moves. Sometimes we pump to heaven. Like, we go straight to Valhalla. Other times you fall off a cliff and you just spiral off of them. And so the market reacts in really strange ways to these events. And while I would imagine it's a net positive, sometimes for whatever reason, there's a flush out. You see it, that stuff come out, it flushes that day, it might flush the next day. And then following that, the pump begins and we start pumping after a pretty brief flush out. And so that stuff happens as well, where they just want to clear the liquidity and then send it higher. So yeah, I don't know. I'd be careful around it. I don't really plan on going into a specific trade for this event, but...
And then, yeah, like you just said, 50% of the time, whatever the initial reaction is, it might even reverse.
Yeah.
Like, so it's hard to play that. Your team, especially when he does the press conference, right? You're trading against a bunch of algos that are processing his speech live. And those algos, yeah, it's great. Sometimes I think they make mistakes sometimes too, those algos. But again, you're in the game with people and companies that are just at a completely different level that, you know, as an individual, you can't really comprehend or can't strategize against.
Yeah.
So we'll be here for next week, and definitely going to get, you know, all the information around it to continue to educate. I really appreciate everybody joining. If you haven't, please subscribe. Drop us a like on your way out. We've got a ton of people in the live still. You know, if you guys could just hit the like button, it helps us grow the channel. And again, in the description below, if you want more Brendan for his trading course, there's a link there. We got the $1 trial to join Crypt Nation. We got the free book. If you're somebody that's new and this seems a little confusing, but you're here to the end, you're in the right place. Check out the free book. Brendan, I'll hand back to you to close it out, and we'll see everybody later this week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, hey, we appreciate all of you coming in here, joining us live. You know, like Tiva said, we love doing these things. We do them every single week, multiple times a week, completely for free for all of you to watch and tune into. And so we make lots of other videos as well. We do podcasts, tutorials, these rundowns, and all sorts of other content. So make sure that you hit that like and subscribe button. Stick around. We get a lot more coming your way. And I'm going to be back on here Thursday, I believe, this week.
Yep.
And then, we got Brian, who's been in the chat. He's another analyst on the team, and he's going to be coming in here later on in the week as well. So thank you all for watching, and we'll see all of you at the same time, same place, very soon. Take care.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. results. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.